is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Chapter 11, Lost Little Girl. Sure, expecting the bad outcome every time means that Shang Qinghua is either always right or pleasantly surprised when there's a good or not so bad outcome, but sometimes being right really sucks. He wanted to be wrong. He really wanted to be wrong this time. Shang Qinghua has had two apathetic birth families so far, both of which he would call mildly shitty experiences, but neither of them were this bad. Holy shit. He really feels like he should be throwing himself into the line of fire here. It's not like he hasn't played the sacrificial target to random people's abuse before. Shang Qinghua, master of logistics, draws the figurative fire of entitled people looking to complain to a manager. Like human tanks like Liu Qingga draw actual fire in battle. But there's one big problem.
Uncle, who's that?
Luo Bingha asks.
Character profile updated. Feng Huian.
Someone your mama needs to have an important talk with, Shang Qinghua says, brightly, recklessly enough that he's probably in danger of accidentally blinding someone. It's an important adult talk, so we need to get out of the way. Let's go get some tea and snacks, huh? Jiahui, we're going to go get tea. Luo Jiahui smiles through her stricken expression.
Have fun. Mama will come find you later, all right? Be good for your uncle.
Luo Jiahui's awful mother, Grandma Feng, Luo Jiahui's original family name was Feng, takes this opportunity to shoot Shang Qinghua another hateful glare. She must be partially blind, Shang Qinghua will generously assume, not to notice the overwhelming cuteness of the young protagonist. Grandma Feng then walks briskly around her daughter, making another attempt to escape this confrontational conversation. Power walking away from good choices is Grandma's preferred form of exercise, apparently. The pain on Luo Jiahui's face is, painfully obvious, before she hurries after her mother, trying to get the woman to look at her so she can apologize properly. Grandma Feng just seems to turn her nose up towards the sky. Shang Qinghua kind of hopes Grandma walks into a wall like that.
Bye, Mama,
Luo Bingha calls. Shang Qinghua crouches down, helping the protagonist off his shoulders, and then takes his hand to lead him towards the tea house.
Yep, time for a tea party. This is fine. Luo Jiahui can handle herself without a customer service blast shield. She's the boss here, and she's made it clear that Shang Qinghua's job in this mess is to hustle the baby away from the ugly. Protect the most precious thing.
So, what does Bingha want?
I don't want tea, Luo Bingha says thoughtfully. No, thank you, uncle.
You can have something else if you like. I'm sure they've got lots of interesting things. Let's ask them what sort of things they have and tell Mama about the food later. Shang Qinghua says quickly, already regretting his promise to limit sweets.
Fuck, he wants to buy this kid all the sweets and toys in this town. Material goods can replace lack of extended familial affection, right? He knows that he can't really make up for a shitty birth family. But someone has to put in some effort here, besides Luo Jiahui. It can't hurt, right?
This whole situation is arguably yet another thing that is probably airplane shooting towards the sky's fault. So he should do something to make up for this shitty lot in life. "Is that Mama's mama?" Luo Bingha asks. "Yes," Zhang Qinghua says, mentally patting himself on the back for not saying, "Unfortunately, yes." He could definitely say a lot worse. "She used a bad word." Zhang Qinghua coughs. "Yes, she did, didn't she? She shouldn't have done that." He doesn't want to properly define bastard for Bingha. His nephew has definitely heard the word before, but he probably thinks that it's just a really rude way to say a not-so-nice guy. "Mama's mama is having a bad day today," Bingha pronounces knowingly. A 6-year-old who has, at his advanced age, thanks to various explanations by his guardians, figured out the answers to life, the universe, and everything. She needs to say sorry for being so mean, too. "That would be the right thing to do," Zhang Qinghua agrees vaguely. Then he says, "Oh, look, stuff. Let's look at that." Zhang Qinghua does his best to be a good distraction, and Bingha, trusting his mother to take care of every problem in the world, goes along with it. Zhang Qinghua requests that Bingha judge his tea, which the young protagonist does with the dignity of an expert critic, after making a super funny face of pure disgust. Sometimes Zhang Qinghua really regrets that this world doesn't have cameras or phones to record these moments. Bingha forgets the word subtle and calls it sneaky instead, then regally elaborates by calling it tea pretending to be water, which is one of the mean comments Luo Jiahui made on the way here, which Zhang Qinghua hadn't known his nephew had heard. You really have to watch what you say around a kid. They'll repeat anything. But, better passive-aggressive reviews than curse words, maybe? After about an hour of chatting randomly and Uncle Shang stories, Bingha is unstoppably fidgety and has been walking back and forth between their table and the window for the past 15 minutes. Their fellow customers and the servers are not sneaky at all about their suspicion and disapproval. Zhang Qinghua is sure that these nosy neighbors are going to go blab hot, twisted gossip to everyone they know later, especially if Grandma Feng is a patron of this pretty mediocre establishment. "Mama's been gone a long time," Bingha says, flopping over the table. Zhang Qinghua really wants to flop too, but it's a lot less cute at his age, and without a protagonist's golden halo. Sometimes important adult talks are like that. "Come on, let's go shopping." Shopping is good for more distractions. It really doesn't seem to matter to the protagonist whether or not he gets to meet his adoptive maternal grandparents or not. Why would he, really? Extended family is overrated in Zhang Qinghua's experience. Luo Jiahui's single mom friend's kids don't have grandparents either. Bingha already has Granny's son for his doting elder needs, and no one has been encouraging him to look forward to getting spoiled by the strangers Luo Jiahui is meeting now. "When Mama is done saying sorry, are we going home again?" Bingha asks. "Yep, we'll be going home again after we're done here." This journey has been fun, Zhang Qinghua thinks, but exhausting. Almost like a real family vacation, logistical arrangements and baby herding included. But having to be on lookout duty pretty much the entire time definitely sucked. Zhang Qinghua is almost considering bringing disciples on whatever real vacation he finally gets, even though that thought makes him feel like he's actually becoming one of those spoiled immortal masters who only look so otherworldly because they act like they're too good to make their own fucking tea. "I miss home," Luo Bingha announces, not for the first time. The protagonist has never really left Sanjiao Town before, which was super exciting at first, but the novelty of the trip is clearly wearing off for him. Me too, Zhang Chenghua sighs. They wait in the market square. Luo Bingha clutches his new souvenir, a wooden tiger with limbs and a jaw that can move, lovingly painted, large enough for both his dolls to ride the beast if they squish, and tells his uncle everything he misses about home, his friends, and everything he plans on doing when he gets back, eating his mother's cooking, and everything he can't wait to tell everyone. He lost another tooth. Zhang Qinghua listens, mostly attentively, totally agreeing enthusiastically with everything the protagonist says. All the magnificent sights of a beautiful, fantastical world can't compete with all the comforts and familiarity of home, especially when this beautiful, fantastical world is based on his shitty stallion web novel, and so is filled with lots of unreasonably deadly crap and other weird bullshit that exists pretty much just to be dramatic and killed gruesomely. Not at all suitable to bring a 6-year-old anywhere near. And especially when none of those hack-crafted, ham-fisted wonders cancel out the annoying, mundane risk of getting mugged or getting food poisoning. There may be stacks of paperwork piling up, straining Zhang Qinghua's poor desk, which would probably beg for mercy if it could only scream, but this second life he's pulled together isn't so bad. When they finally put all this mission stuff behind them, he'll be glad for things to go back to normal. Luo Jiahui comes back sometime after the third hour of her absence, with red eyes and a pink face, still mustering a wide smile for Bingha's exuberant greeting. She admires Bingha's beautiful new tiger when he shoves it in her face, offering many compliments on his choice. When Bingha pats her blotchy cheeks in concern, she assures him that she's just feeling a little overwhelmed and needs to rest.
Did Mama's mama say sorry for being mean?
Not yet, Luo Jiahui says hoarsely, rubbing her son's back, which looks like it's comforting her as much as him. We both need some time to calm down first. Mama is going to talk to those people again tomorrow.
I want to go home soon, please.
Luo Jiahui's hand comes up to comb through his hair. I know, Bingha. Just one more day to talk to some more people. And then we can all go home again, all right?
All right.
They find an inn, have dinner, prepare for bed, have story time, and Luo Bingha falls asleep surrounded by his toys. Zhang Qinghua and Luo Jiahui probably smile too widely and laugh too loudly through all the bedtime rituals, but they somehow get away with it. And then, only then, does Luo Jiahui tell Zhang Qinghua what happened. She followed her mother back to her childhood home. Her father was there and, once he got over his shock, sided with his awful wife, like a good husband and a shitty father. Luo Jiahui tried to explain her situation, but it turns out that Luo Jiahui's unreliable ex-lover passed through town about a year ago and talked a lot of shit to cover his own ass. The Fengs are now thoroughly convinced that Luo Jiahui is actually dirt poor and struggling, and has, in every way, chosen to struggle by driving everyone else off because she's ungrateful and entitled. They found Luo Jiahui's side of the story unbelievable. In comparison with Luo Jiahui's scummy ex-lover's story? Oh, come on, Grandma and Grandpa. Bro, really? They think that Luo Bingha is their daughter's first bastard child, or, failing that, a bastard with Zhang Qinghua, who they have immediately assumed is her lover and probably scum. Zhang Qinghua is definitely not a real cultivator and has to be some incompetent dope being taken in by their manipulative daughter. Zhang Chenghua may have private arguments with himself over his legitimacy as a cultivator, depending on what standards he's using. But it's super rude for the Fengs to make all those assumptions. Fuck them. He's the lord of Anding Peak of Changchong Mountain Sect. However he got this life and that seat. And that means something. Fuck them very much. He would totally be happy to shove a spiritual seal in their faces to prove it. To let Luo Jiahui have her fuck you victory tour in all its petty glory. Even though he's pretty certain these determinedly stubborn people will tell him to shove his fake seal up his ass. Luo Jiahui apologized profusely for lying to her parents by secretly taking a lover, for getting pregnant outside of marriage, for disrespecting her parents after her lies came out, and then for abandoning her family after they refused to accept her choices. Zhang Qinghua still thinks that Luo Jiahui shouldn't be the one doing the bulk of the apologizing here. But for all he knows, Luo Jiahui left making rude gestures at everyone and cursing them out. And she can totally apologize if she feels she went about that confrontation wrongly. But after apologizing, Luo Jiahui apparently continued to defend herself and refused to retract her claims. Good for her. But in the eyes of the Fengs, Luo Jiahui told so many lies as a teenager that they apparently still can't trust anything she says now, especially if she's refusing to act properly ashamed of herself and keeps talking back to her wise elders. They said that they didn't understand how someone they raised could have grown up so wrong and ungrateful, Luo Jiahui sobs. They said they raised a smart, honest girl. Eventually, when Luo Jiahui still didn't back down, Luo Jiahui's parents said that they might have forgiven her if she'd come back sooner, but it's too late now. Which sounds like total bullshit to Zhang Qinghua. Has to be. They apparently just can't understand why, if she had lost her first baby and her lover, she wouldn't just come home again to grovel properly then. Luo Jiahui apologized again and said that she was too ashamed to come home after making so many mistakes. She's made something of herself now, but realized that waiting until she was good enough to come home again was wasting precious time, and that she missed everyone. Her mother apparently countered this heartfelt statement with the worst bullshit yet, by saying that they might forgive her now if only she gave up her new lover, her bastard child, her new house, her new life, and came home to work hard for her family, to prove that she meant her apology to them. Ha ha, yeah, this proves to Zhang Qinghua beyond a doubt that Luo Jiahui's parents are talking pure vicious bullshit. The old move the goalposts maneuver. Ha ha, yeah. His first birth parents like that one sometimes. It always sucks. Luo Jiahui obviously, adamantly refused to do this. And surprisingly, but not surprisingly, Luo Jiahui got angry with her mother for even suggesting this. Luo Jiahui may be a very forgiving and optimistic person, but she still has mama bear instincts. She told Grandma Feng that she didn't know how the loving parents who had raised her could dare suggest something so evil as abandoning a baby. Luo Jiahui's mother insisted that Zhang Qinghua could look after her daughter's foundling child, who was not and would never be family to her, and an infuriated Luo Jiahui called her mother heartless. Luo Jiahui's mother called her daughter as hurtful and disrespectful as ever. It's hurtful because it's true, Zhang Qinghua offers. Luo Jiahui laughs miserably. Then, apparently, they got into a good old mother-daughter screaming match. I don't understand how anyone can just stop loving someone like that, Luo Jiahui gasps. I made a mistake. I made many mistakes. But I would never just stop loving Bingha like that, no matter what he did. I know I hurt them, but Mama said what I did is unforgivable and that her trust is broken forever, but was what I did really so bad as that?
No, definitely not, Shang Qinghua says firmly. Not even a little bit. His birth families might not have been so bad as this, but his internet family totally sucked a lot of the time. Shang Qinghua is familiar with the type of people who will gush endless praise until airplane shooting towards the sky makes a writing decision they don't agree with, and then will send daily death threats for an author's betrayal. He's familiar in both lives with the type of people who think that anything they give, money, their super precious time, and their super duper precious feedback, in the case of airplane shooting towards the sky, means that other people owe them everything they want. Anything less is betrayal. It's very like an eye for an eye mentality, except it's more like, you took my eye first, unprovoked, so that means I get to take two eyes from you to make it really fair mentality. These people need to be paid back in shame and suffering. It's not fair. It's not about sense. Maybe after 7 years, anger has become too comfortable, Shang Qinghua suggests, being more generous than he wants to be, if only because his fake sister-in-law is that generous sort of person. They can't let it go. Maybe my appearance was too surprising, Luo Jiahui says. Her face looks wistful, hopeful, but then she frowns again. I'm not going to abandon Binghe, not even for a little bit. Tomorrow, I'll try again. I'll speak to my brother and sister if they'll see me. I'll collect what keepsakes they'll let me take, and then we'll go home again. Maybe we'll try this trip again in a few years. Even if it was supposed to be a test, it's not okay, Shang Qinghua agrees, because holy shit, he would have expected that sort of loyalty test from a demon lord in Proud Immortal Demon Way, not from the mother of the kindest woman he knows. Ah, Grandma Feng, you already hit rock bottom and you just kept fucking digging, he thinks, some very real anger stirring in his chest at the unfairness of his own fucking world. As a child of divorce, airplane shooting towards the sky has never been super big on filial piety himself, and he thinks that might have come through a little bit into Proud Immortal Demon Way. Grandpa, you suck too. You're going to be eating all these words when the protagonist is ruling the world someday. You could have gotten in when he was all cute and cuddly. See, if he gives you a second look you'll want to get when he's older now. That should have been the end of it, for the night. But while they're preparing to go to bed themselves, the grumpy innkeeper comes in to tell them that they have a visitor. The person waiting for them downstairs is a man, maybe 30 years old, the sight of whom makes Luo Jiahui gasp, identifying him as her older brother.
Character profile updated. Feng Yu.
Feng Yu is a short fellow, taller than Luo Jiahui but shorter than Shang Qinghua, with brown hair stressed slightly loose, like his sister, and the pursed lips of someone pursuing frown lines with the dedication of an immortal master, like his mother. He looks at Shang Qinghua like he's trying to figure out who this random fucking stranger is, but in the way of someone who has already totally decided that whatever the fuck this is, they're almost for sure the scum of the earth. Hey, fuck you too, bro, Shang Qinghua thinks. Luo Jiahui's brother makes a good first move by hugging his sister and saying, I'm so glad to see that you're all right. Really good first move. But then the man immediately breaks his potential combo by saying, accusingly, Jiahui, why did you think it would be a good idea to come home and scream at our elderly parents to forgive you for what you did? Ah, the old completely twisting events to favor your side of the story move. A classic. That's not what happened, Luo Jiahui protests. Luo Jiahui's brother looks blatantly disbelieving. The neighbors heard the screaming and stopped me on the street to ask me if things were all right. When I was coming home, Mama and Papa are humiliated. I raised my voice because Mama told me to abandon my son. Mama says you said he's not even really your son. He is my son in every way that matters. It's possible that Luo Jiahui's brother, Feng Yu, is just confused and trying to understand what happened in the clumsiest way possible. But Shang Qinghua thinks that this man must have gotten all of their mothers. I've hit rock bottom, but I'm willing to dig, jeans. But maybe not all of them. Because the man does appear to actually listen when Luo Jiahui launches into her own side of the apologies, explanations, and subsequent mother-daughter screaming match. Shang Qinghua dares to think that this family reunion isn't going too badly when another visitor shows up. Not grandma or grandpa, thank fuck. The latest newcomer is a woman, even shorter than Luo Jiahui, but around the same age, with beige skin, black hair, and a narrow face missing the family resemblance. She's also obviously pregnant. Like, please don't pop, lady, I'm a cultivator, not a doctor, pregnant. Qilan, Feng Yu says, alarmed. You shouldn't be here.
Character profile updated. Li Qilan.
The pregnant woman waddles inside, giving him a grumpy look. I'm not in the mood to have your parents croon over me as their only good daughter. Wait, a part of Shang Qinghua thinks. Mama and Papa won't like this, Feng Yu says. I'll care tomorrow, his wife tells him flatly, before looking at Luo Jiahui with an uncertain smile. Hello, I've heard a lot about you. Hello, Luo Jiahui says, with matching uncertainty. Is Fun Li with you? Oh, no, another part of Shang Qinghua thinks. Fun Li, Luo Jiahui repeats. I've been so worried about her. She isn't with you? Oh, fuck, all of Shang Qinghua thinks. Luo Jiahui turns alarmingly pale before visibly swallowing. Then she looks at her brother and says, Feng Yu, where is Fun Li? She's not living with you? No. Shang Qinghua knows that defensive tone of voice. This is a man who knows that he's fucked up. This is a man who knows that pretending that he assumed everything was fine, actually, is obvious bullshit, but is trying anyway because he doesn't know how else he might be able to dodge his fuck-up. Why would she be with me? She left to go find you. Left? Left? She's only 16. How did she just leave? The same way that you did, Feng Yu snaps, pulling at his already stressed hair. She got an idea into her head, wouldn't let it go, and walked out of our parents' house thinking that she knew better than anyone else. She said that she was going to go find you. You haven't seen her? No, Luo Jiahui cries. Shang Qinghua had thought Luo Jiahui was out of tears for the night, but it looks like her shitty family is going to really test that. The grumpy innkeeper has to come tell them to quiet it the fuck down for the other guests. Luo Jiahui takes a deep breath, announces that she is going to go check on her sleeping son, and then she will be back, expecting an explanation from her brother. The explanation sucks. Feng Yu tells it like a man who knows his explanation sucks. After Luo Jiahui's shitty ex-lover came back, spewed his excuses, and then skipped town again, their younger sister got it into her head to go find poor Jiahui and bring her home. Luo Jiahui's parents refused multiple times to do this, and there were many fights. Eventually, just a few months ago, Feng Fun Li gave up on her shitty parents and ran away from home to find her older sister. Zhang Changhua wouldn't call himself an expert on birth families, despite remembering more of them than most people. And he wouldn't say that he knows much about parenting either. Luo Jiahui does all the real work of raising the protagonist. But, he thinks that it's reasonable to think that it really fucking says something about the Fengs' parenting, that they've lost two daughters now. He's not sure what exactly, but it definitely says something about them. If he had to guess, he'd say it says they're awful. First, Mama and Papa told me she was staying with a friend. Then they said she ran away, and they wouldn't let me go after her, Feng Yu says, more defensive than ever. It's too late. There's more work than ever now. Mama and Papa are getting older and need help more than ever. He looks at his very pregnant wife, before looking helplessly back to his sister. I'm in no place to travel right now. She's 16, Luo Jiahui repeats coldly. Someone should have gone. She's not too much younger than you were when you left, and you clearly had good enough fortune, Feng Yu insists, before clearing his throat. I think that it's best that you return to your new life, Jiahui. We're having enough trouble without you bringing up old problems. I'll find a way to send word if Mama and Papa ever decide to accept your apology, or when Fun Li comes home. Where did Fun Li go? Luo Jiahui demands, ignoring him. She probably went to the town where that man said you were living with him. The Luochuan River is too far away for me to travel there. Mama and Papa are... they can't handle a lot of things anymore. Things have changed. Luo Jiahui is silent, radiating upset. But so are Feng Yu and Li Qilan. No one is happy here. We'll go looking for her then, Luo Jiahui declares. Zhang Qinghua, isn't surprised. He was expecting this from the moment he figured out that Luo Jiahui's younger sister is missing. When Luo Jiahui looks at him for support, he nods quickly, because he's here to help. What the fuck else can he really do? He's never really learned to tell Luo Jiahui no. He won't be able to rest easy knowing that he has a little sister-in-law lost out there, especially not when he knows Luo Jiahui won't be able to rest easy over it.
Mission stage complete. The past, present, and future of Luo Jiahui. Part 1. Meet the parents.
Wait, Zhang Qinghua thinks. Wait a fucking minute.
Beginning the next stage. The past, present, and future of Luo Jiahui. Part 2. Dirty Laundry. Mission objective. Return to Lin Luo Town.
Zhang Qinghua is sure glad that no one else can hear the unnatural ding of the system right now. It would really ruin the moment. Really ruin the scene happening here. All the system stuff happened safely inside his head, just like the many, many curses he is currently composing for the system's never-ending bullshit. Unfortunately, if he lets loose all his what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck is this sentiments right now, he's pretty sure that Feng Yu and Li Qilan's unborn baby's first word will be fuck someday. Zhang Qinghua is ready to get to his knees and wail, thinking, part two? There's a fucking part two? System, bro, the worst and shittiest of bros. Fuck you. You can't do this to me, system bro. You at least don't have to make this a mission. Making it a mission is like wishing us the shittiest of possible luck. Feng Yu and his wife are clearly too worried about Feng Fan Li to protest Luo Jiahui picking up her shitty family slack. They don't try to talk her out of it. Feng Yu, in his exhausted gratitude, even promises to try and convince their parents to see reason and forgive Luo Jiahui for what she did. Zhang Qinghua isn't too impressed, honestly. And by the insincere edge to Luo Jiahui's thanks and farewell, she's not too impressed with her older brother either. After the in-laws leave, Luo Jiahui begs Zhang Qinghua's help properly. Zhang Qinghua assures her aloud that of course he'll help her. He's worried about his little sister-in-law, too. Really, he couldn't refuse to help, even if he wanted to. Well, aha, he could, but there would be penalties from the system and Luo Jiahui alike, so he wouldn't refuse this addition to the Luo family vacation mission, even if he wanted to. He, of course, doesn't mention the penalties or the system to Luo Jiahui, though. Even if consequences from the system weren't an issue, she's clearly prepared to worry herself sick over her younger sister, working overtime to make up for her shitty parents, and probably blaming herself for her younger sister's decision to run away. She doesn't need to bear Zhang Qinghua's problems, too. They stay up later than they probably should, later than they both mean to, making plans for this new long way home. Luckily, Lin Luo Town is more or less on their way home to Changchong Mountain Sect. The detour could definitely be worse. Zhang Qinghua has a bad feeling about the second stage of the system's mission, though. So he makes Luo Jiahui promise that she'll go home if they don't immediately find Feng Fanli. Zhang Qinghua will track down his missing little sister-in-law himself if necessary, but he'd really prefer not to have to look after his family on the road any longer, especially if there's going to be any trouble. Luo Jiahui looks like she's considering being stubborn about it. She's totally ready to go full mama bear on someone, Zhang Qinghua can tell. But she ultimately agrees that a dangerous journey or confrontation is no place for young Binghe. The next morning, Feng Yu comes by to drop off some of Fun Li's things for tracking purposes. Luo Jiahui gives him a letter with her contact information, and then they leave pretty quickly. Time is precious, no time to waste. Luo Binghe is clearly confused by this new development, as his mother explains that his young auntie is lost and needs their help, so they're taking a different way home to look for her. I'm tired of adventure, the young protagonist declares stubbornly. We've seen everything already. It's all the same. I want to go home. Zhang Qinghua laughs, startled by the irony. Ah, he thinks. The world is a lot simpler when you're six, huh? Oh, to be young again, and not understand the full, horrifying, frightening depth of everything going on around you. Yes, we've been traveling a long time now, but now we need to see that your Auntie Fun Li is all right, Luo Jiahui insists. I'm sorry, Mama didn't know that her younger sister wasn't here, Bing Bang. If we can't find her on our way home, then we'll go straight home, and your uncle will look on his own, all right? Luo Binghe nods after thinking about it. All right, as long as we go home too. One of the things that Feng Yu gave them was a comb with some of Fun Li's hairs, which is pretty good for tracking spells. Not as good as blood or bone, sure, but not too shabby either. Zhang Qinghua can't remember where nails rank on this list, but teeth are up there with bones, he thinks. Also, he's very fucking glad that Feng Yu did not give them teeth, because that would have been too weird. Unfortunately, Zhang Qinghua is a little rusty at creating this sort of compass, especially in a rush on the road. Divination is so much more difficult than just sticking a tracker on someone, especially when he's never met the person he's tracking. He doesn't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that the tracking spell he finally gets to work, wobbling only a little bit, leads them directly to the town where Luo Jiahui lived before. On one hand, it's totally a good thing. Zhang Qinghua has been fucking terrified that they might find Luo Jiahui's sister in a ditch on the side of the road, Because that's the sort of horrifying shit that happens sometimes to mundane people in this world. That would scar the protagonist for life, probably. And also Luo Jiahui and Chang Qinghua, too. On the other hand, coming back here after all these years almost immediately gives him the creeps and a wide assortment of other bad feelings. Zhang Qinghua can't tell if there's something actually wrong with Lin Luo Town, or if he just doesn't fucking like being reminded of what Luo Jiahui's life was like here. He really doesn't like thinking about his last vacation. He doesn't like thinking about how he almost turned his back on Luo Jiahui like the worst sort of uncaring author god, of how he almost left her to the whims of the system's shitty plot interpretation, and of how he almost let his nephew become an orphan twice over out of fearful selfishness. All like the coward he is at shriveled heart. Luo Jiahui clearly doesn't like being back either. Her expression is strained, her posture is tense, and she looks at all of the people around them like they might become threats if they recognize her. Even if this town didn't bring up bad memories, Luo Jiahui's expression would probably still be miserable, worried for the sister who followed her example. But, Zhang Qinghua has no doubts that the memories of this place really are bad, and that they're definitely not helping her through this shitty mission. And there's only so much good a pat on the shoulder from a fake brother-in-law can do to drive them off. Luo Jiahui's memories of this place are definitely worse. Luo Binghe knows where they are only because he likes keeping track on Zhang Qinghua's map, so he knows how close they are to their next destination or how far they are from home. He's very disappointed by how slow-moving their homewards progress is so far. He's very, very disgruntled by the fact that they're not moving back towards Sanjiao Town in a straight line, which seems unreasonable to his 6-year-old sense of logic. This sprawling town on the Luochuan River means pretty much nothing to him. Zhang Qinghua's tracking spell is meant for long distance. All the other ones he tried sputtered out or lay still like dead things, and it becomes slightly unstable when they reach Lin Luo Town, uncomfortable to maintain and difficult to direct. Zhang Qinghua thinks that means Feng Funli is nearby. Either that or the tracking spell has latched onto a chunk of his little sister-in-law's hair that might be lying around here somewhere. An option which he does not mention to Luo Jiahui. Zhang Qinghua's first sister-in-law looks very close to literally worrying herself sick and throwing up the moment that they get anything resembling bad news. They stop by Luo Jiahui's old hovel. Still looks like shit. Still makes Zhang Qinghua feel like shit. And which looks shittier than ever compared with Luo Jiahui's warm and welcoming home in Sanjiao Town. Which is a thought that makes Zhang Qinghua feel shittier still. At this point, it's anyone's game who's going to throw up first. Maybe Zhang Qinghua can find that alley he puked in all those years ago, after he first met Luo Jiahui, and repeat the experience? Maybe it'll be nostalgic. No one answers the door to the hovel. Zhang Qinghua cautiously pushes the unlocked door open. It looks like someone may have been living here recently, but not within the past few weeks, and nothing suggests that it would be Feng Funli. Asking the neighbors for information doesn't help. Very few people in this part of town are willing to talk to strangers, though they get friendlier when they recognize Zhang Qinghua has money he's willing to part with for information. The people who do talk to them say they've never seen Feng Funli. So abrasively that Zhang Qinghua can't tell if they're just very rudely honest people or if they do know something but strictly follow the snitches get stitches rule of life. Things seem quieter here, Luo Jiahui remarks, looking around her old neighborhood. Quieter how? Zhang Qinghua asks. I think there's fewer people here. Fewer beggars, fewer homeless people, Luo Jiahui observes. It was noisier when I lived here, this time of day. Although, maybe I'm only imagining that some of these houses look empty. Zhang Qinghua can't even begin to trust that they're that lucky. Binghe, Luo Jiahui says, don't play on the ground here, please. The Frang tracking spell takes them on a wobbling, worrying path towards nicer areas of town. The likes of Master Radish Farmer and Madam Basket Weaver are still there, still willing to give a random rogue cultivator the time of day, and apparently they don't recognize Luo Jiahui well enough to disapprove of her changed fortunes. Their evasive reactions to Zhang Qinghua's general questions are not promising, and they shuffle off hastily, in the way of desperate people who have left their plants on or need to water the cat. Definitely weird, he thinks, trying to salvage what few nerves he has left with an inside joke with himself. Why so shifty-eyed and antsy about the local big fish, Master Radish Farmer and Madam Basket Weaver? He can guess why, though. Not the how of why exactly, but the why. It's the same everywhere. Always. Sister-in-law doesn't have to come, Zhang Qinghua says softly. Luo Jiahui went pale at first, when it became apparent who her sister may have ended up near. But that's been overtaken by flinty-eyed determination to face her old employers. No, she says. Fun Li shouldn't have to wait for you to take us home first. All right, let's go then. Fuck. It turns out that the big fish in town have redone their part of the pond. The genuinely lovely country retreat, a well-to-do and well-maintained house of relaxation, has undergone an extensive renovation. The inn/resort is much larger now, definitely more exclusive resort than humble Riverside Inn. And, Zhang Qinghua would call it tacky. It's kind of obviously tacky now. If he had to sum up the decor in one phrase, he'd call it, I can pay for my delusions of grandeur. When people have money but no taste and are trying to build a tourist trap for people who have even more money and even less taste, this sprawling new money mansion resort bullshit is what happens. House of... Binghe reads aloud, squinting at a sign with gold paint. Rejuvenation, Binghe. Luo Jiahui supplies tightly. Rejuvenation, the protagonist repeats, clearly puzzled. This looks like it belongs in a much bigger city, Zhang Qinghua muses. This journey was already on thin fucking ice, but at the sight of this, which really doesn't look out of place in the setting of a proud immortal demon way plot, they're on even thinner fucking ice. But, it looks like the Gao family are getting their customers coming to them from far and wide now. There are three fancy, gilded carriages stopped at the front of the House of Rejuvenation, which looks like it costs nearly as much as the entire renovated inn itself. Each one has opaque embroidered curtains, matching black horses with handsome bridles, and veiled female attendants in beautiful white robes. With gold trim, but, still kind of haunting and grim-looking, like ghosts. The white-robed attendants are unloading a no-one-needs-this-many-bags-unless-they're-moving-houses amount of luggage from the carriages. Some of the local townspeople have gathered to gawk at the extravagance from the distance. But Zhang Qinghua notices that some passing others don't seem too surprised at all. Such very important visitors traveling far for the hospitality of the Gao family must not be an uncommon sight around here in recent years. Horses! Luo Bingha shouts, immediately enthralled. Luo Jiahui has to hold her son's wrist tightly to keep him from going over, probably to clamber all over some noble's fancy wheels if he thinks he'll be able to get away with it. Mama, please? As Shang Qinghua, Luo Jiahui, and Luo Bingha approach the House of Rejuvenation, they see some well-to-do but not crazy rich, wealthy visitors out front. There are some well-dressed guests Shang Qinghua would peg as minor gentry, and other types of social climbers, milling outside with their luggage, looking very disgruntled. Since the world doesn't have phones for any of them to shout into, some of them are shouting their displeasure at their servants instead, showing off that, infamous, high-class grace and dignity. But that's not what worries him. There's also a squad of young cultivators standing around, about half a dozen of them in matching golden robes who don't look like they're here on vacation. Their red-faced young leader is having an argument with an older woman blocking the way in, who must be an employee of the establishment. The gaggle of fidgety disciples, swords and packs all ready for some kind of hunt, look extremely embarrassed by their leader's, graceful and dignified behavior. Hua Ge, Luo Jiahui says. Huanhua Palace sect, Shang Qinghua answers, a little numbly. Wow, the red flags just keep on coming, huh? He's already lost count of them. The long-distance tracking spell is losing its effectiveness, but Shang Qinghua is sure that this only means that they're too close for comfort. All this extra stuff could just be coincidence, sure, but Shang Qinghua trusts the system about as far as he can throw it, and he can't fucking throw the shitty no-good thing. Oh, this is for sure not fucking good. We're not staying, Luo Jiahui says. Definitely not staying, Shang Qinghua agrees. We're just asking questions, finding Fun Li, and leaving, Luo Jiahui says. In and out, Shang Qinghua agrees. 5 minutes at most. Luo Jiahui takes a deep breath and walks forward.
If we were sent by our master personally, we will not return to him empty-handed,
the Huanhua Palace sect disciple is complaining loudly, his scarlet complexion apparently gunning for purple next.
The rumors that...
My apologies, young master, but with the arrival of Lady Xia and her attendants, the House of Rejuvenation is unable to accommodate your stay. The servant says respectfully, but quickly. Those are definitely the strained tones of someone who was done with this conversation less than 30 seconds after it started.
This is not a stay for fun, the disciple sputters. This is an inspection.
While we are grateful for the unwarranted, unsolicited concern of the highly esteemed Huanhua Palace sect, the House of Rejuvenation is honored to provide our guests with absolute privacy and cannot accommodate this.
The servant answers smoothly.
I am afraid that you will have to return to speak with our mistress at another time, young master.
The disciple puffs him up pompously.
Only for one of the well-to-do but not crazy rich wealthy guests sidling up to suddenly cut in front of him. This guest is a 30 to 40-something man, his clothes on the seen-better-days side of well-to-do, and he has a neat, slightly urgent countenance.
Excuse me, I am Dr. Xu, a physician to Lady Dan. I sent a letter to Master Gao several months ago about studying the extraordinary rejuvenating properties of the Luochuan River and got a response from Madame Hu personally about pursuing an arrangement.
Master Gao is unavailable, the servant interrupts.
Then we will speak with the mistress of the household, the Huanhua Palace sect disciple declares, sidling in front of the doctor, clearly annoyed by his interruption. My master has heard of these rejuvenating properties, and...
Our mistress is too busy tending to the needs of Lady Xia and her attendants, the servant interrupts again, quickly and firmly. The river didn't have any rejuvenating properties when I was sticking my hands into it every day, Luo Jiahui mutters, surveying all these people clamoring to see her former scum employers and their servants. It doesn't seem as though Feng Fan Li is anywhere among them. The Huanhua Palace sect disciple and the doctor both seem stumped by the servant's rudeness. Shang Qinghua clears his throat and steps forward. Excuse me, this is sect business, the Huanhua Palace sect disciple snaps. Be on your way. He gives Shang Qinghua a very insulting once-over and sneers. Shang Qinghua stares at him. Sure, he's in disguise as an unaffiliated cultivator, even having switched out his usual sword sheath for something a bit more beaten up, but really? This golden-robed Huanhua Palace sect cultivator's outfit and weapons just scream, I'm wealthy and unworldly. Please rob me and or otherwise con me. Maybe they should consider dressing down when they're out on missions? Anyway, whatever happened to respecting your elders, huh? Your sect business seems to have met a roadblock that can only be solved by time, Luo Jiahui says, so politely and gently that it's, pretty cutting. Please, madam, I am looking for my sister, Feng Fan Li. Do you know her? No, I don't know her, the servant says immediately. Luo Jiahui glances towards Shang Qinghua, who shakes his head slightly. While the Huanhua Palace sect disciple fumbles to take back the servant's attention. I was told that she had come here, Luo Jiahui persists. Perhaps she's using a different name. She would be a 16-year-old girl with brown hair who looks very much like me and would have arrived in town some months ago. There's no one in the House of Rejuvenation by that description. Red flags! Red flags everywhere! The Huanhua Palace sect disciple loses their grasp on their temper and demands to be allowed inside. Dr. Xu, very urgently, promises that he would be a most unobtrusive observer, glad to pay for the privilege of study. The servant reiterates the House of Rejuvenation's need for strict privacy, insists that their techniques are not for sale, and tells them that they all must go at once before they disturb the relaxation of the newly settled Lady Xia. The House of Rejuvenation is closed for business. Please, my mistress is not so easily disturbed and loves nothing more than making the acquaintance of fellow travelers, says a new voice. One of the veiled, white-robed attendants, clearly a woman, like all the others, is coming towards them from the House of Rejuvenation. The white veil covers the tall woman's entire head and is mostly opaque, letting through only an impression of smiling red lips. She bows to the disgruntled guests in greeting. Accomplished cultivators are especially welcome guests who have so much to offer us. Lady Xia apologizes for this misunderstanding and invites you all to share in the wonders of the House of Rejuvenation with her, the attendant says loudly. To the servant, she says, please see these people to their rightful rooms. The servant nods, then hastily bows, and scurries off to collect more servants from inside to see to the attendant's commands. Which, makes Shang Qinghua wonder why the fuck the employees are taking the orders of some guest's head attendant rather than the orders of their own mistress. That suggests power dynamics which would set Shang Qinghua on edge if he wasn't already on edge. Who the fuck is this Lady Xia character? How very important is this very important person? Inquiring minds on the edge of screaming need to know. The Huanhua Palace sect disciple clearly has no such questions and takes the opportunity to barge boldly past the head attendant, with the remaining six of his golden-robed fellows scurrying to keep up. While the disgruntled guests stream past them, the young protagonist, staring interestedly at their, look at me, I'm just as good as old money, robes, and the,
Look at me. I'm totally not compensating for anything. Hair ornaments. Zhang Qinghua and Luo Jiahui lean closer to each other. Zhang Qinghua has let the strained tracking spell fall apart. He tells Luo Jiahui in a whisper, but he'll be able to redo it for a shorter range, given a little space and time. Then I just walk in, go straight to your sister if she's still here, and walk out again, Zhang Qinghua says. Easy. Super easy. He really fucking hopes it'll be that easy. The, yes, I am supposed to be here and am on important business, so don't bother me, technique is a very effective technique. It's amazing what people will let you get away with if you look like you know what you're doing and where you're going. Zhang Qinghua can be very good at it for someone whose general, unedited impression is probably, I don't want to be here, I don't think I'm supposed to be here, I don't know where I'm going, and I will definitely break something important while fumbling around. I can come too, Luo Jiahui says. You really don't have to, though, Zhang Qinghua insists. Fan Li might not go with you, Luo Jiahui insists in return. It's really great that Luo Jiahui feels prepared to face all her personal demons on this trip. Zhang Qinghua is really proud of his sister-in-law's bravery on this shitty Luo family vacation mission. But Zhang Qinghua really doesn't have a good feeling about this. He's pretty sure that servant was lying to them about not seeing or knowing Feng Fanli. He's a big enough fish from a pretty big pond. Fuck these people very much. But it's very suspicious where the Gao family got all this new money from, what they've been doing to attract such mysterious clientele, and Zhang Qinghua doesn't have any other fish from his pond with him here to help. Man, he would love to be able to sic some of his fellow peak lords on these people. No one can outsneer Shun Qingqiu or successfully block Qi Qingqi from going anywhere. But Luo Jiahui probably doesn't want the likes of Liu Qingga to see this. One of the servants, a different one, comes up to them to show them to their rooms. Luo Jiahui insists that they're not here to stay. They're looking for a teenage girl named Feng Fanli. The servant also insists they don't know this person, with a similar untrustworthy quickness, a clear anxiousness to their manner. However, Zhang Qinghua can't tell if she's lying or just having a shitty day, because he doubts the House of Rejuvenation is kind to its employees. I would like to speak to your mistress, Luo Jiahui insists again. My mistress will see you as soon as possible, but for now, let me show you to your rooms, the servant tries again. Allow me to make you comfortable while you wait for her to become available. Fine, Luo Jiahui says finally. Thank you. Clearly, she has no intention of staying in whatever rooms they're offered. The servant takes them inside the House of Rejuvenation, which is quickly seeing all the disgruntled guests and their servants to the right rooms. It's just as tacky on the inside as it is on the outside, probably aiming for beautiful and peaceful and coming a lot closer to garish and overdone. Zhang Qinghua catches a flash of Huanhua Palace sect's golden robes at the end of one hallway and spots many of the veiled white-robed attendants out and about, enough that he's going to estimate that Lady Xia's entourage numbers at least 24. Who needs 24 personal servants when they travel? What about guards? Where are all the guards? Luo Bingha cranes his head to get a good look at everything. Uncle, it's like a maze, he decides. Uh-huh, Zhang Qinghua says, having kept track of their path well enough. If he'd gotten actual maze vibes, he'd have turned them right the fuck around. But he supposes it looks kind of maze-like when you're six and the cheapskate scum owners are using the same tacky decorations in every hallway. The servant shows them to their room, which isn't too bad, though it isn't very large and only has one bed.
The servant then promises to bring them some refreshments and bows out, closing the door behind them.
Right, time for that new tracking spell, Shang Qinghua mutters, rummaging in his sleeves. He's still got some hairs left, folded in a handkerchief, and it shouldn't take him so many tries to figure out the tracking spell this time. Find the little sister-in-law, and then we go. Find the little sister-in-law, and then we go.
Mama, the door is locked.
Shang Qinghua and Luo Jiahui both turn to face Luo Bingha, who's tugging on the door with a frustrated look. Shang Qinghua wants to think that it's just his nephew not knowing how this particular door works, but he's just not that fucking lucky. Luo Jiahui walks over and tries the door herself.
Nope. Firmly locked.
She turns around to look at Shang Qinghua.
Fuck.
He didn't expect things to go this sour, this quickly. Immediately to potentially life-threatening? These people are in a rush.
Why is the door locked?
Bingha asks.
Should we shout?
Aha, not yet, Shang Qinghua says quickly.
Uncle can take care of it. Just move aside and let him have a look, okay? Uncle will unlock the door and then we're leaving right away.
Luo Jiahui bites her lip but nods in agreement.
What about Mama's sister?
Your uncle will look for your Auntie Fun Li, but we need to go now, Luo Jiahui says softly. It seems like the people here are not so nice.
She locked the door on purpose?
Yes, and that's a very mean thing to do. So we aren't going to stay here.
The protagonist is adorably boggled by the whole situation, which would be funny if this whole shitty situation wasn't terrifying. Shang Qinghua kneels next to the door and focuses his spiritual energy on the mechanism, which doesn't seem to be too strong or too complicated, of mundane materials and make, and which doesn't have any corresponding spells on the door. Either this was an accident, Shang Qinghua really fucking doubts that, or this is a very poorly thought out kidnapping attempt to use on a cultivator. Does he look like a charlatan? Luo Jiahui would totally tell him if he looked like a fake cultivator, right? Any cultivator worth their salt could bust this lock. They make immortal binding cables and other plot device accessories for a reason. Shang Qinghua has some tricks up his sleeve for those too, actually, though he's not about to lecture these people on how to kidnap him better. He could just straight up kick the door down too, which he's never really gotten to do before and sounds exciting, but attention seems bad right now. Kicking the door down implies a desire to fight your way out, and that's not really Shang Qinghua's style. Nope, he's more of a sneak out when no one is looking guy. Besides, fighting his way out of here with his sister-in-law and six-year-old nephew in tow sounds like a bad idea. He's not the heroic Liu Qingga, sorry. Not that he saw anyone for them to fight on their way out.
What are you doing, Uncle?
Bingha asks.
Picking the lock with spiritual energy. Shh, Uncle needs to focus on this.
Sorry.
The lock clicks within a couple minutes, which isn't too shabby, but also means that Shang Qinghua's probably gotten a little rusty at using spiritual strings and forces for delicate work.
Maybe he'll hold a lesson for his unruly disciples, who will probably inevitably pick up the skill no matter what he does, while serving them the bold underlying message of, don't you fucking dare use this shit on me. It will for sure not stick and he'll regret it later, but he's feeling prepared to be really generous if they make it out of here alive.
Bingha cheers, which is gratifying and frightening, before Luo Jiahui slaps a hand over his mouth.
Bingha, we're being quiet, remember? She whispers.
Sorry.
It's all right. Did Mama hurt you? I'm sorry.
Luo Jiahui kisses him on the head.
Bingha,
Shang Qinghua adds seriously in a hushed voice.
We're going to be very quiet while we're leaving, all right? We're going to be sneaky so that we don't get locked in again. Super sneaky steps, the sneakiest steps. You and your mama are going to follow Uncle and do exactly as he says, all right? First rule is to be as quiet as possible. The protagonist nods very seriously, and Luo Jiahui kisses him on the top of the head again. Shangqing Hua grins while panicking.
Definitely still in the throes of panic here, even more so than usual, but he cannot show that internal fucking turmoil to young Luo Bingha.
Then, very carefully, nudges the door open and peeks through the crack. He can't see or hear anyone in the hall, so he opens the door a little further and quickly looks around. The coast is clear. He beckons Luo Jiahui and Luo Bingha forward, and together they sneak down the hallway. It's, very quiet in the halls now compared to the earlier bustle. Weird. Shangqing Hua peeks around the first corner and sees two of Lady Xia's white-robed attendants, both of whom have removed their veils? They're both in profile, at a far enough distance that Shangqing Hua can't make out the murmurs of their conversation, but he can see the glimmer of something on their foreheads that nearly makes his heart stop in his chest. Those are demonic marks? Oh, fuck! Oh, fuck, fuck, fuck! Those are demonic fucking marks. Two of Lady Xia's attendants are demons, which means that all 24 of them are probably fucking demons, which means that the mysterious Lady Xia herself is probably a fucking demon, because that's just how things work in the shittily constructed world of Proud Immortal Demon Way, realized from a shittily constructed web novel written by a hack. That's how it is on this bitch of a world. Shangqing Hua clearly didn't expect the right bad outcome here. His mind is way too swamped with panic to rack his shitty memory properly, but he'd be willing to bet good money that Lady Xia is either a Proud Immortal Demon Way wife or a Proud Immortal Demon Way villain, too. Which one? Unfortunately, he doesn't have a clue. Fuck, why couldn't he have been a hack author with a better memory? It's been decades, and he can't reasonably be expected to remember every single fucking detail of his sellout monstrosity. He could really use a cheat sheet sometimes. What plotline is this? The protagonist wasn't supposed to be encountering demons at this age. The demons at the end of the hall finish their conversation. One of them steps out of sight for a moment and comes back with a body hoisted over their shoulder. Ah, fuck. Those are the golden robes of Huanhua Palace sect again. The demons took out the Huanhua Palace sect cultivators already. Shangqing Hua kind of wants to laugh. Hey, system bro, you fucking asshole! Shangqing Hua thinks hysterically, having figured it all out way too late. Did you force me to go on this shitty fucking Luo family vacation mission because there was a very real chance of Luo Jiahui and Luo Bingha dying without me? Are we at risk of dying here?
Mission stage complete. The past, present, and future of Luo Jiahui, part 2, Dirty Laundry.
Aha, wait. Shangqing Hua thinks again. Don't you fucking dare. Don't fucking do it, bro.
Beginning next mission stage. The past, present, and future of Luo Jiahui. Part 3. Imperfect Immortality. Mission objective. Survive. Tip complete. Wishing you the best of luck.